least for me, when I think of Richard, there's also some smiles in the memories, there's some laughter. Richard lived, I would call, an adventurous life in many ways. And he's got two brothers that are going to share. I have different things I'm going to share as well. But let's start with the Lord's help, if you'll bow with me, because we certainly need that, most of all. Lord, as we come to this place, we come, as I said, with so many mixed emotions for his mom, his dad, who is not able to be here, for his brothers and sisters, all these different memories of a life that certainly had its share of suffering and pain, and yet had its shares of joys and victories and triumphs. And I pray as we remember Richard, we also remember your work of grace in his life, because we know he is not here. His body may be here, but his spirit is with you because of your wonderful work, Jesus. Pray that will bring the comfort that's needed and the healing that's needed. And as we remember and share, not just here in the chapel, but throughout the day and in the days and weeks to come, that his memory goes on with us, but his spirit goes on with you, and we will see him again. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with a couple scriptures. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm so glad Paul wrote these words. "The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So we're here to receive comfort from the Lord himself. And then I'm sure many of us are familiar with these words, and we often read them at a time like this, but I think how true they are. They were true for Richard in his life. They are true for Richard right now, where David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy," and I think Richard could say that, "in spite of the problems, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're going to start by singing, because we're celebrating his life too and the work of God's grace in his life. A hymn that I'm sure is familiar to all of you, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I think of, when we get to verse 3, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord." And Richard can sing that. And Richard was a good singer. We'll mention that, a little more of that later. And then the last verse says, "Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight." His faith is sight now. He's seeing what we're believing for. So if you may be seated. "It is well with my soul." And that's really the theme for the celebration of Richard's life. I knew Richard. I can't say Richard and I were close friends, and that was largely due to geographical location. But I knew Richard. I can say, though, that in the last, I can't keep track, but probably 5 or 6 years, my visits with Richard were always in a place that wasn't fun to visit in. It was hospitals. We were in hospital rooms together. And Richard had many close encounters with death. It's hard for me to believe or to think of living a life dealing with, you might say, critical illness starting at a young age, and yet having the fight and the joy. Richard was a remarkable guy, no two ways about it. He was born in Oakland, California, September 27th, 1956, just celebrated his 58th birthday. But he grew up in Norwalk, Connecticut, pronounced both ways by people that never lived there. Esther, Richard's mom, has a really neat thing. If you are a mom raising kids, you should copy Esther's practice. She wrote down memories when the kids were little. She just jot down one or two lines as they did fun, cute things, or in Richard's case, crazy things, but she jotted them down. And here's a couple. I'm going to share several of them. And she called him Dickie. I never called him Dickie, but she called him Dickie. When he was very young, 1 1/2, Dickie, this is quoting her, knocked over a tray of potted plants and broke almost every pot. The tray was on top of a table. The table was on top of a trunk. He broke a lamp beyond repair, and he smashed the glass in the bedroom clock. Now, I don't know if that set the tone for his life, but it was a pretty dramatic start. But Richard was also adventurous, and he started that at an early age. About at age, again, 1 1/2, and he's mobile here, Dickie decided he wanted to go outside. So with his sister Carol's hat and jacket on, he got Arthur's lunch pail, went to the front door, then to the back door, back and forth. Finally, he went out the back door and around the porch and came back inside. Well, that wasn't enough. Next, he went out the front door, down the driveway, and almost to Murray Street, which is more than a block away, before Ralph, his dad, caught up with him. Dickie started down Murray Street with Ralph following, 10 or 15 feet behind him, trying to see where on earth this child is going to end up. He got as far as the first house and started coughing, so Ralph brought him back home. That would be interesting on YouTube. The next month, we're having a picnic outdoors. Dickie chewed on some radish, which he didn't like, so he put it on someone else's plate. He took my brother Bert's pickle. He picked up some ice off the ground and put it in a glass. And finally, he took some of Arthur's potato chips, and he still could if he would. Several months later, they were visiting relatives at Goshen Farm in Pennsylvania. Richard was supposed to be taking a nap, but he couldn't be found anywhere in the house. Well, outside, a cry was heard. We found him in the chicken house, unable to get out. He had been pecked by a chicken, which he called a duck. Shortly after he turned 4, Dickie announced he wished he was big enough so he could be governor. I think he soon dispelled of that dream, but anyway. Soon after he turned 5, he was going down for another nap. Mom went in and started to pick up what she thought were sticks off his bed, but she found out these sticks were alive. They were angleworms he brought to bed with him. When he was 5, he made the following statements. He liked Jesus, and he liked God, and the doctor for sure. Richard started singing as a boy and continued when he was older to develop a really nice singing voice. He sang in a couple of churches, and I can remember him singing. He was at Fairwood Bible Institute, and we overlapped just briefly. When my wife and I moved up to go on staff there, Richard was there, and I remember him singing. It's kind of a baritone tenor voice in my memory, kind of right in that nice zone. Good memories. He loved sports when he was growing up. He loved the Pass Boys. This is their trademark for life. The Pass Boys like to play sports with the neighbors. And I got this from Curtis, so you know it's partially true. They played sports with their neighbors, and the teams that they had, the Pass Boys always won. Now, how does that work, that the same family wins all the time? They had their ways. And I said, I'm sure you played clean, above board, all the time. And he said, yes, they did. When Richard was in school, he started playing in the band. He loved music. He played saxophone and later switched to the sousaphone in marching band. And that's, as a wannabe musician, that's a major switch from a reed instrument to a brass instrument. Whole different deal. He learned both. He played soccer. He loved to play football, track. But wrestling was his favorite. But he won a match against an opponent who weighed more than he did. Who was that, Curtis? Was it you?
Both of us were usually put in classes above.
You didn't wrestle each other, though. I mean, for the school.
For the school, yes.
Yeah, okay. I know you probably wrestled at home, but. Yeah. Richard loved music, and if you heard some of the music coming in before the service started, his brother-in-law Ted said he had an eclectic taste in music, and as you'll see, an eclectic taste in other things too. And it's funny, because when I was going over my notes this morning, I was remembering different things, and that was the exact word. Where's Ted? Right there. That was the exact word that came to me. I said, he had a very wide range of tastes. He loved all kinds of stuff. He liked classical music. He liked country music. You have heard Pink Floyd this morning, which is probably a first in here. But still, he had all these, this wide range of music. Loved drama club, all those different things. But he also had a great love of cars. That started at an early age, the love of motors. His older brothers were into go-kart racing. And he collected eclectic cars as well, which included, and I have a partial list here. You probably saw the picture of the 1949 Morris Minor convertible, not fully restored. Let's just put it that way. It needs a little attention. He also owned a Miata race car, a BMW 750 IL, which if that doesn't mean anything to you, it's the flagship of the BMW fleet. It's a large four-door sedan with a V12 in it, an Alfa Romeo, a Lotus Elite, a 62 Vespa scooter, a Chrysler Windsor, and last, but certainly not least, five Triumph Spitfires. Richard worked at a variety of jobs from Florida to Connecticut to finally New Hampshire, but his long-term station was with the Home Depot company and served in a number of positions there in a variety of states. It was fascinating. He was on the early move when Home Depot was transitioning here, and I think there's a number of work associates that are here. Thank you for coming, and have spent many years with him. He was in management, learned all aspects of the business, and in spite of declining health, he had that work drive. He was going to go to work. I forgot. One of the family members told me he'd been in the hospital, heart issues, kidney issues. They discharged him. He went straight to work. Didn't go home to rest. Just go straight to work. I can picture him doing that very easily. Think of dealing, though, with long-term illness starting in his early 20s. Three kidney transplants. Not one, two, but three kidney transplants, two of them donated by two of his sisters. Going through all of that, going through years of dialysis early on, then through kidney, and then, I don't know this, but I have friends that have gone through this as well as Richard. It's not just the transplant you're dealing with. You're the aftermath of the transplant, you're dealing with rejection drugs, the whole thing. It's not, oh, I got my new kidney, I'm all done. That's not how that disease works. It's a long process. Going through that three times, he has dealt with multiple heart attacks in the past years, but still, I had a friend of mine told me a number of months ago, and she lives also in Brookline, New Hampshire, she goes, you'll never guess who I saw at Home Depot. I said, yes, I will. Richard said he wasn't doing real well, but he was at work. I said, yeah, I believe this. This is absolutely true. He was there. He was working. In God's mysterious ways, which we don't understand, Richard was not able to have children. He had been married, but he loved his nephews and nieces. And I think if you picked up one of the brochures of the reading, it may say in the obituary, how many nephews and nieces? Did any of you read that? 44. Little family, right? Little family. But he loved the kids. He loved his friends and acquaintances. He made so many friends at work. And with his hobbies, he loved antiques, not just antique automobiles, a variety of antiques. His brother Curtis told me he has a grand piano in storage, just all this wide range of things. And I didn't know this. I learned this in reading the obituary too, but his own desire to learn more, he was learning more about medicine. He's living with medicine, but still that appetite for knowledge that just kept going, kept plugging. So, I'm going to share a couple things now. I want to share a song that we'd hoped to have sung. We weren't able to get it ready, but the words from it have meant so much to his mom, especially since he passed. She kind of discovered it right after his passing, the song, as I understand it. So let me just read the words to you. It's titled Just a Little While. It's a hymn from the 50s. I wasn't familiar with it. Just a little while till there shall be glad reunion for eternity. Never-ending joy we'll share. No more night, for Jesus is there. just a little while, cares will be over. Christ will greet us on that blessed shore, calm all fears and wipe away all tears in just a little while. Just a little while till we shall stand with our Savior in the glory land, there to bow before the throne, there to know as we are known. Just a little farther on the way we shall come into that perfect day. Evermore, our Savior to adore in just a little while. Beautiful words. I wish we could have sung it, but you'll be glad that I didn't sing it. That would be helpful. Richard has two younger twin brothers, Dan and Dennis, and they are going to share. I don't know who's going first. Don't argue about it. Just come up here and do it.
Being one of the youngest, I know least, so that's why I was asked. But I had something going on in my mind ever since Richard passed, or even in those last, hours when it was uncertain. And that something was carried in my wife's mind, too, Perry. We were down in Georgia, and we had heard of what had happened. We didn't know. But the words of a song came to me, and I over and over again, I didn't have a songbook, but they're up here. Can you put the words of the song, "He will carry you through"?
That's it.
Okay. I can't tell you a lot about these growing up things because I was the little one. When I remember my kids, probably my early memories was him getting married. So.
Yield not to temptation, David. Okay.
But this really struck to my heart because I was kind of a, as far as Richard, we always were praying for him. And one thing you know about God is God has purposes. He's also very patient. And he's patient, but he also accomplishes those purposes. So in Richard's life, my heart and the heart of his mother and family members was to see him come near to God. Because there's many things I know, decisions not always good, you know, not always falling the right way, and yet you've heard a priceless character. There's many things, many good things. But God, through the years, and through, I'd say, the last five or so years, you could see the hand of God in his life. And what came over in my mind was the chorus here. And you don't see the chorus. This is 128 in the Warrior Songs. But it says, "For I asked the Savior to help me, comfort, strengthen, and keep me. And he was willing to aid me. And he has carried me through." And that struck true that strikes really true. I asked the Savior to help me. Well, I think people asked for him, and I'm sure he asked himself. He had a lot of opportunity to suffer, which gave him a lot of opportunity to reflect and think and be taught from God. But I asked the Savior to help me, comfort, strengthen, and keep me. He was willing to aid me, and he has carried me through. I wanted to sing this because this is when God does a work and he finishes it, we can't complain. Man can't complain. We can always say God did a good work. 2 weeks ago, I was at Fairwood Bible Institute for a day. I was there for a week. He was there for a day, and he stayed the whole day. And I had, in years past, I'd been in the hospital at times and was wondering, you know, I want to see the response to Christ in his heart. And my mother and brother would tell me, it's there. But I thought, well, I want to see something. So I felt at peace and certain. And 2 weeks ago, he was there for 2 days. He went for a day, the whole time, till about 10 o'clock at night, talked to many people. I remember walking back from a campfire, and Lewis Hansen, I don't know if some of you will know him, but he put his hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. And he prayed a great prayer. And Richard was moved. And when I came away home to Georgia, just long, you know, week before he died, I was at peace. I knew that my brother was in Christ. I finally had that peace. And so when God does something and he completes it, it's good. Yeah. And if we can sing and he has carried you through, that is the victory here. And that's the eternal thing. It all is ashes, you know. Everyone finds an end, or actually, they really find a new beginning in Christ. So I feel like it's a beginning. There was a lot of suffering, there was a lot of trials, there was a lot of decisions. Maybe not always be the best, but God comforted him. God interceded for him through people's prayers and speaking to him. And God gave him a victory in knowing him. So I want to just sing this song. And I'll read one verse, because my wife had a verse that she felt had place here. So 128, or actually, I'm sorry, I'm not used to the screens. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, and he will carry you through. Shun evil companions, fled language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, and he will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Though faith we shall conquer, we're never cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Different chorus. I ask the Savior to help me, comfort, strengthen, and keep me. And he was willing to aid me, and he has carried me through. Verse for my dear wife. It's really there's a song there that actually Rick Fulton I've heard sing many times. For I am confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Yeah. So there's the testimony, God's work in our lives. And I can tell you, he loved his nephews and nieces dearly. He loved each one of us dearly. And he was dearly loved, as my mother said, dearly loved. And but God carried him through, and there's no greater testimony that any man can have. Yeah. Whatever might have come before, God made the final choice, decision, and had done the final work. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Dennis.
Yeah, when I was asked a few minutes ago to say something during the service, I thought, okay, that's not very difficult for my brother Richard. I did not know him quite as well as some of my brothers, because we were little kids playing in the sandbox, and he was actually graduating from high school. But there are some things I do remember very fondly. I remember his MG and his Sprite, his little Austin Healey. I remember him taking us out and rides in those cars, and they were a lot of fun. They were a lot of fun. And I think that's the thing that I remember about him, is he was a lot of fun. You know, I remember going to drama presentation at the high school. He was in the band. He did a lot of singing. And he was just a very positive guy. You kind of figure, like, I wasn't very popular in school, but my brother, everybody liked him, and he was really popular. And that's a good thing, you know, when you're not. But that's... It is, because he was someone I could look up to in a lot of ways. I could see his passion for what he did. He had passion for what he did. He didn't just like okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, I'll sing a song, or I'll fix a car. But he fixed a car. He fixed it right, and it looked good. And you'll really enjoy riding around in it. So that's one thing that I remembered when he was younger. I also remember that he suffered a lot. You know, he had a lot of, many know that he had a kidney problem for most of, it seemed like most of his life, most of the life I can remember. But I do remember this, that he always had a positive attitude. You know, I mean, when my little boy gets hurt, he's 5 years old, he cries. That's okay, that's normal. But Richard, it seemed like when he got hurt, he was okay. I'm sure he cried. I know he cried, but he always had a positive attitude. You know, he wasn't one to say, look at me, I'm suffering. He was more the idea of asking me how I was doing. And I'm thinking, you're in the hospital, and you're asking me how I am doing and what I'm planning to do and how my wife and my little boys are, and you're in a lot of pain. He was a very thoughtful man. I find in people that I speak with about him today that he was very well-liked. Not surprised in the least. I love the guy. And I kind of wish, in one way, that, you know, I left home at 17. He left home before that. But after he did live in the area, which was nice. So even in high school, I could visit him. He lived about 20 minutes away or so. But then I went off to college, and I really didn't see him that often. I kind of wish I could have worked for Home Depot. Because in talking to people, he was a great guy. I knew he was a great guy, but I would love to have seen all the experiences that other people here have witnessed, have enjoyed. And, you know, in saying that, I appreciate his support of the people, because there was a reason why he loved people. He had a lot of people to love around him that loved him. You know, I think he had that thing in himself that was selfless and thoughtful, but he had that support so that when he did go to the hospital, Pastor Ron would come and see him. His family would come and see him. Some of his good friends from the area would come and see him. I appreciate Ron. I appreciate Rich. And there's a lot of other people I could mention here if I knew, you know, all that they did. But he had a lot of people who loved him. I'll just say that. And I appreciate that. I think about his life and his vision. All those cars. Wow. He would tell me all the things he was going to do with them. In fact, I remember traveling somewhere with him, and there was a tarp out there, and there was something under it. And you know what? To me, it was a hunk of metal. To him, it was this, and I don't know what it was, but it was this special car that there weren't that many of them made. And he had to go by and see it, and he thought about, I'll see, maybe I can fix this. You ever say that? Maybe I can fix this. Well, you know, he had a lot of vision. He had a lot of hopes and dreams and aspirations, and I'm glad of that. It's an inspiration to me. You know, never let your dreams die. And I appreciate being able to see him just a week ago. My brother mentioned he came to Fairwood, and he walked up. I remember him walking up on the field. We had like a campfire or a bonfire in the evening. And the guy had a cane, couldn't walk all that well, you know. And yet, he had a good smile on his face. You know, you don't see that a lot, but he definitely had it. So he had a lot of difficulties over the years. He had like a few bumps here and there, and that's fine. We love our brother. We all have bumps. But I'm glad that in the last few years, I think that, as my brother mentioned, God met him in a very special way. And that was very good. And I'm glad for his entire life, because throughout his entire life, he blessed a lot of people. He blessed a lot of people. And that's from early memories I have of him to the day he passed on. He blessed a lot of people. So I will miss him a lot. I will miss him a lot. And I know that we all will. And I can say this. Heaven rejoiced to receive him, you know. Heaven rejoiced to say, Richard's coming. Yes, this is great. I feel it a privilege to be his brother. Yeah, I love him very much.
Thank you.
want to share a couple things that actually people were sharing on the internet. And there's a couple, there's some copies of them out here on the table. When you're going out, help yourself to different things that are there to remember. But Lisa McDonough wrote, "Rich was the most caring person I know. He was so dedicated to his career and would take the shirt off his back if you needed one." We saw a picture of that. "I remember his smile and the times a bunch of us Home Depot friends would go and hang out after work. He certainly will be missed." I'm not sure the way this printed who this is from. "Rich was my first DH, is that department head? What's DH, Home Depot people? Wow, figured it out. Anyway, at Home Depot, 3484, he was, and this is what was cool. "He was a walking encyclopedia of Home Depot knowledge and helped me greatly to learn a lot. But even more, he was an inspiring man who didn't know the word quit." I thought, wow, this person knew him. "A great person will be missed by many. No more pain, no more struggle. Be free, my brother, you are free. Peace and love to Rich's family and friends." And then his sister-in-law, Claire, Ronnie's not able to be here. This is Ronnie's wife. She writes, "I'm so very sorry. He will always, always, he always, always made sure Ron said hello to me when they spoke. It's hard to keep in touch with everyone with all going on here in the distance, but I always felt a connection with him. Such a blessing. He isn't struggling any longer. A very, very special soul, and I knew this from the beginning. Love you all. Wish you could be there." So this, and there's many more. You can go online and read or and share your own tribute as well. I think those are very important. And we'll have a chance to share more. I hope you can stay, because following this service, I'll just let you know how it's going to work. When you're dismissed, you'll be dismissed first from the balcony, come down and wait for your row to be dismissed. Then after we're outside, if you want to make your way down to the cemetery right in front of the church, we're going to, if you're not able to walk, you can take your car down. Everybody park on the cemetery side. It gets confusing if we park on both sides. We need access up here for, if God forbid, but if we ever need to rescue a fire truck, they're going to be able to get up here. So park everybody on the cemetery side. If you need to take a car, but it's much nicer if you can walk. God gave us an absolutely beautiful day. Then after that, we want to come back up here and visit and have some lunch together and share. There's just so much more to share about Richard's life. One of Richard's nephews, Stephen, had a dream last night, and his Aunt Janice brought him over, and I met him, and we talked, and in his dream, he saw his Uncle Richard. Where is Stephen sitting? Right here. There he is. And so I hope I get this right, buddy. But in his dream, he saw his Uncle Richard, and Uncle Richard came to him and said, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right." I think that is so cool. Thank you, Stephen, for sharing that. It's going to be all right. We don't understand suffering in this life. Most of us don't. I haven't had a lot of it. I've walked the road beside others that have gone through suffering. It's a pretty tough deal. And I wrote down, Richard's story is one of both suffering of strength and of struggle and triumph. Of course, he did own five triumphs, but still, he loved British cars. But it was struggle and triumph. Richard also struggled with his faith, as both Dan and Dennis have mentioned. But this too, like struggling with physical disease, can go in one of two ways, but it can make a person stronger. Richard's mechanical side, and he was very mechanical side, would think, how does this work? How can I fix it? How can I make it better? Well, those are good spiritual questions too. In the end, Richard came back to his faith. And as I was reflecting over his life, remembering the times I had him with in past years in the hospital, it kind of reflected back to me, because that's what it does when we think about who we are and what's going on. And I wrote down, I remembered this. We are all sinners and all need a Savior. Jesus took all of Richard's sin, all of my sin, all of your sin on himself on that cross and died in my place. Jesus took our sin, but does not leave us empty. In return, he gives us his spirit. He gives us eternal life. I have an app on my phone. Everybody's got apps. It's a verse of the day thing. And this morning, it said this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. And that's from Jeremiah 29. And when we look at Old Testament, especially prophecy, it's what God's saying to the Israelites then, very specific about them. But we know we can translate that into our own experience as well, and it's very powerful. God always had plans to prosper Richard, not harm him, and to give him hope in a future. And now Richard is in that place where it's no longer hope, it's reality. It's not just future, it's present. And as I was in my Bible this morning reflecting on his life, I was reminded of these great words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote to the church in Ephesus, which applied for Richard, applies for me, can apply for you, where Paul wrote, chapter 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath or objects of wrath. But, and here's the shift, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." And then Paul says it first time here, and he'll say it again. "It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this, that is faith, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And then skipping down, Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace." I think someone that dealt with the physical struggles and challenges that Richard had, peace would have been a difficult word to include in your life experience. I get the flu, I think it's traumatic. But he dealt with serious life illness, and yet all through that, whether he felt it clearly or not, God was with him all the time. I've seen that again and again. God is with us whether we sense it or not. He is there, he's working, he's speaking to our hearts, he's guiding us, directing us. He himself is our peace. If we simply come and trust, just as Richard did in Jesus, we find the free gift of eternal life as he did. You and me, like Richard, can have this peace, which only Jesus can give. I'm so grateful I have it. I don't know how I could have gotten where I've gotten in life without Jesus. We're going to close with one more song before I say a closing prayer. This song came to me soon after I heard of Richard's passing. And the great old hymn, Amazing Grace, which I think most of the English-speaking part of the world knows. But then a few years ago, Chris Tomlin, Louis Giglio, John Newton, they knew of John Newton, but they thought, we're going to add one more chorus to it. And I think this, in my imagination, I saw the fruition of this after Richard had left us here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. We know the verses, but the chorus, the newer chorus goes, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Sometimes we sing it, especially for him, has welcomed me. My God, my Savior, has welcomed me. He's there in his presence. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love. Jesus, I've got a good imagination. It doesn't take much imagination for me to see Richard in your presence singing your praise. I don't need those. Those are my glasses. Sorry, Lord. Sorry, everybody. He's singing your praises. That beautiful voice. No longer dealing with dialysis, bad heart, bad kidneys. A body that was worn out and broken, but a spirit that wasn't, not worn out and broken. He's in your presence singing your praises. And Jesus,
What he found in you is available for each and every one of us. He that calls on the name of the Lord, Scripture says, shall be saved. Simple as that, because of what you did, Jesus. Maybe there's someone here and they feel like, wow, I'm so far from God, I don't know. Will it work for me? Yep, it'll work for you. Work for Richard, works for me, it'll work for you. We can come to that same Savior that Richard did, you, Jesus, find the gift of eternal life, powerful, free, and that peace that passes all understanding. Or Paul, you'd write, would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I pray that for the family now. They're grieving, rightly so. Grieving is a process. It's not a today event. It's a process. As we come to grips with separation for a time, but that's what it is. It is for a time. We will be in Christ reunited with Richard again. But I pray for comfort for his brothers and sisters here, for Ronnie and Claire who couldn't be here, and their boys. Especially, Lord, I lift Ralph up to you, not able to be here, and with the difficulties he's dealing with, Lord, speak your wonderful peace all over him. Speak peace to Ralph. Speak peace to Esther. Hold her steady, God, by your wonderful, amazing grace. Your arms, which are so gentle and caring, and yet there are none stronger, none stronger. Thank you for her family that loves her and is standing by her and supporting her. And we do that too. We surround Esther with your love, Jesus. We're here to share what you've given us to her. I pray for his work associates and friends that are here. And they're the ones that have walked with him day by day through all these experiences. Please give them your comfort and peace. His friend Kevin, they've done so many things together, each one, God. Pour out your blessings on them. And bless us as we continue to fellowship and share and remember and laugh and cry together. All these things, they're part of the process as we honor this man. Difficult life, but now in glory with you. We love you, Jesus, for your amazing grace. Amen. You may be seated, and please wait to be dismissed. We're going to run the video again so you can see some of these pictures. They're awesome pictures. Thank you, Ted, and others who put this picture show together. It's really good. You need to fire it up down here. You have a copy there, David? I think he's going to try run it back there, Ted. So, okay, if you'd wait to be dismissed from the back first.